Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, with your hosts, Ray Garvin and Derek Brown, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Y'all know who it is. It's your boy, Ray G. And as always, I am joined by my man, my boy, my friend, Mr. Derek Brown. You can find him on Twitter at @dbro_ffb. And y'all know y'all can check me out at Ray GQ. Make sure you tap into everything FTN is doing. Go to ftnfantasy.com. Check out all the articles, podcasts, data, tools, all kinds of dope shit on FTN Fantasy to help you be better. Fantasy football, best ball, redraft, dynasty, all that stuff, man. We got everything over there. Make sure you tap in. D-Bro, NFL free agency. It is wild, wild, wild stuff, man. How you doing? How you doing this evening, my friend?
Dude, it's been a crazy week. Not a whole lot of sleep. I've been doing some things and stuff and changing rankings like freaking 80 times a day. It's been wild, dude. I mean, we're not going to even get into like all the defensive moves and stuff of this free agency so far, Which has been a lot of changing complexions of teams. Some people writing a lot of checks and putting some money behind some players we're going to get to. And I'm just like, what the hell are y'all doing? But it's been a busy week, dude. I don't think we're done yet.
No, we still got some big names hanging out there, man. I was talking with some people the other day. I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, when NFL free agency came after the NFL draft. And I'm so glad they moved it ahead because it's twofold, right? We get to see what teams are thinking and how they value current free agents. And also it gives us a little bit of a glimpse into what some of these teams may be doing during the NFL draft next month. You know, if we see a team sign a running back, pay a running back a lot of money, which we'll talk about tonight, maybe that takes them out of the market for one of the higher end running backs in the 2022 class, vice versa. We've seen quarterbacks move, but ultimately having free agency before the NFL draft provides another layer of just entertainment, excitement, depth, as far as roster construction, what you're thinking about for your teams in the fall. There's just a lot going on, man. And I think one of the big things that happened, one of the big trades, it wasn't a free agent signing, but a trade, right? There was some talk about Amari Cooper potentially being released by the Dallas Cowboys. And this is a little bit older, right? So we're not going to spend a ton of time here, but he is now a Cleveland Brown. He was traded to Cleveland for a fifth round pick, essentially, because the Browns and the Cowboys swapped six rounders. How are you feeling? Like, instant reaction when you saw this news, Amari Cooper gone from Dallas in Cleveland. How did everything sort of play out in your mind?
I think the initial reaction out on social media was everybody was just ready to shit on it. They're all like, it's Baker, it's Cleveland, it's a run-first offense. And I'm like, I don't understand the problem here. Like, you got him going from Dallas, where he got like a 19% target share, and now he's going to Cleveland. Who the hell is he competing for targets with? He's got, what, Donovan Peoples-Jones? Okay, sure, he was a thing. He's got a slew of other dudes he's going to compete with. Jarvis Landry ain't there no more. David Njoku, Austin Hooper, like whatever type of Anthony Schwartz. Like, who is he competing with for targets, right? Even if they add a wide receiver, like say they add a wide receiver in the first round. And I'm not saying that they do, but maybe they do, especially if, or maybe they don't even have the first round pick if one of these trades gets popped off. Right. But I'm not pushing Amari Cooper down. Like, he goes maybe down a little bit in dynasty ranks, but in redraft, I mean, people are like, well, he's never gotten over a 22% target share. You got a team that fed Jarvis Dam Landry 7.9 targets a game, which, by the way, Amari Cooper got 6.9 per game. Amari Cooper did not have the target share last year. Jarvis Landry commanded a 24% target share on this damn team and more targets per game. Do we not think, and this is like what I'm talking about, is after Odell was out, do we really not think that Amari Cooper is a better wide receiver than Jarvis Landry right now? And if that's the case, he can't get targets at a higher rate or even, hell, equivalent to what Jarvis Landry did last year? If that's the case, dude, like, everybody's willing to bury him. I'm not doing it. Like, I think he's a wide receiver 3 with upside if everything breaks right. Like, down the back half of the year, we were all scratching our heads that Cleveland was throwing the damn ball more than they had done previously ever. Like weeks, I think it was like 12 or 14. They're top 12 in neutral passing rates. If that happens this year, like, could also Amari Cooper get even more targets than what I'm even talking about? But everybody's just willing to bury him because of shit narratives. Like, okay, Baker's not good. Okay, well, what about Odell? And I'm like, are y'all not, do you not see what I see?
I'll say this, man. I was ready to shit can you for this one immediately. You know how I am. I got to disagree with you on the very first
I saw your face and I saw the emotions changing a little bit.
You did a good job selling it, man, because he is better than Jarvis Landry. And I mean, he's still a talented wide receiver. What's he, 27 years old? Yep. I think the issue is Baker, right? Most people are like, Baker's not very good. He's inefficient. He's not accurate. He's all over the place. He's erratic, whatever bad adjective that you want to use to describe Baker. Most people have applied that to the Mayfield, right? But you make a good point. You make a, somebody's got to catch the damn ball, right? And if they took on that massive contract, and I believe they are paying for all of it, he's going to get the opportunity. And I think you're right. You said wide receiver three. It's probably where he is, right? Dynasty purposes, I do think this is not good for Amari Cooper dynasty-wise. Redraft, as a wide receiver three, I'm fine with it. I'd probably rather have somebody else, and we'll talk about some other free agent wide receivers today. But you made a very compelling argument for Amari Cooper and for a little bit of just pump the brakes on full-fledged panic on Amari Cooper. If I had him in Dynasty, I would 100% be trying to shop him and or Baker Mayfield and use that. They paired up. You know, it's going to be magic. Cooper and Baker Mayfield. But you did a really good job explaining that one. And I have to say, compelling arguments there for Amari Cooper. Now, let's go to a backfield. And let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals backfield, which looks a lot different today than it did 48 hours ago. And that's because Chase Edmonds is gone. 2-year deal, $12.6 million to Miami. And James Conner said he's going to stay home. So James Conner staying home. And I believe his contract was nice.
3 years. Yeah.
Like, in, I believe it locks him in this year and next year with an out in the third year, which at that point he's 29 years old. We'll see how he plays out. What are your thoughts on James Conner and Chase Edmonds? And then I'll take it another layer deeper. What are your thoughts on Travis Etienne? Because it was reported that Jacksonville was very, very close to signing one James Conner, but Conner wanted the backfield to himself, probably didn't want to share with Travis Etienne. So I'm kind of giving you a smattering of stuff to kind of talk about here. Edmonds, let's start with Edmonds, then move to James Conner, and then talk about Travis Etienne.
Well, and I want to tack one on the end of this because there was another team, and I know the tweet you're talking about. The Jets were also mentioning in there, so we'll talk a little bit about them in a second too. But for James Conner, I mean, Ray, this is like, he's 26. He's got the 3-year contract, 2 years sewn up. This is what we want in Dynasty, baby. Like, I don't care that he was signed for damn near nothing last year. The fact is, he's not 28. He's in basically prime years, maybe a little bit later than prime years of running back production. But the 2-year deal, we know as long as he's healthy, and I get the health concerns, but this is a big boost in his Dynasty value for me, man. Like, I bumped James Conner, and tell me this, like, if I'm – maybe I'm too high here. I moved James Conner up to RB17 in Dynasty.
That's me. Okay? I'm too high.
Okay. And
literally,
the
literally too high. Continue.
Yep. I mean, I'm asking because here's the thing. He's 26. Oh,
yeah.
He's going to be in there for 2 years. Unless they bring in somebody that's going to just, he's going to go back into being like just the goal line back, like Kenyon Drake, whatever. But for 2 years, he's got the upside. And we've seen, like, if he gets that role with Chase Edmonds was out and he's running routes at a super high clip and he's the 3-down dude, he's getting catching passes and he's 26 for the next 2 seasons. Tell me why we shouldn't value him in this same tier. So in this tier of guys that I got Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, and Ezekiel Elliott. Like, they're all in that kind of age range. They've got some certainty for the next season, maybe 2 seasons in their contract. And maybe I'm just a little bit lower on Aaron Jones, but that dude is not young. And A.J. Dillon was taking all the damn red zone work last year. Like, I think James Conner is a top 20 dynasty running back, as insane as that shit is to say. But with the contract, his role, no Edmonds, they got Eno Benjamin, who they had Eno Benjamin last year. They could have let Eno Benjamin get a bunch of work with James Conner and said, we believe in you in the passing game. We're going to use you in the Edmonds role and just keep James in the goal line role. They didn't do that. They were flexing James Conner out to the outside in the slot, like using him in the passing game. He wasn't coming off the field. And so, like, for me, I'm like, well, shit, you're telling me James Conner is going to be the do-it-all workhorse running back for the next two seasons in a productive offense that loves to run the ball. James Conner was top five in red zone rushing attempts and near the goal line last year, and nothing's changing for him. And he's got Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are both going to be there for the next two seasons. Like, it's insane to say, but if we take the name out of it, tell me how he's not a top 20 back. If I were to tell you all these things and just took James Conner's name off of it.
I think you're on to it, man. I don't think you're crazy at all. And let's just play a little game right here. Would you rather have Zeke Elliott or James Conner right now?
Conner.
Me too, man. Aaron Jones.
Would you rather have James Conner or Aaron Jones? I think that's a good conversation. And I actually take Conner.
You know, it's a good – I think there's a conversation.
Tough.
You know, James Conner or David Montgomery?
Let me check the. I actually think that I've got James Conner above David Montgomery. Yep.
The point is, I think you're onto something. And even for the next 2 years, if he's locked into that type of volume for the next 2 years, this is not a strategy in dynasty. I would tell people to go make if you are not truly in a win now mode situation. Mm-hmm. If you can't go get it this year, next year, I'm not advocating. But in that same vein, though, D-Bro, I wouldn't be advocating drafting Derrick Henry that high. I wouldn't be saying draft Ezekiel Elliott that high. I wouldn't be saying draft Aaron Jones that high if you're not a win-now roster. This was great for James Conner. Great for his value. Chase Edmonds is out of the way. He's locked into that type of volume. This is best-case outcome for James Conner, in my opinion. Better than switching teams. They know what he is. More receiving work. Everybody talking about Eno season. Get the fuck out of here. There's no Eno season. Like, I like him as a dart throw, as a stash, but he's not taking anything away from James Conner. He will be a spell back and probably have a lesser role than Chase Edmonds even had. So I'm with you, man. I think this is great for Conner. Did you touch on Edmonds yet?
Oh, no. I just went on a long, long James Conner rant. For Edmonds, look, two-year deal, I haven't seen how it's constructed. I'm guessing it's more like a 1 year, and maybe if you do good, we keep you around for the second year. I bet you it's front-loaded. For me, if you have Chase Edmonds, and getting rid of a player is always comes down to what kind of offers you're getting. And at this point, we don't have. I got to go and look for it. But, like, with the contract language, I would probably be trying to trade Chase Edmonds away if I have him. Now, again, if you ain't getting the offers for him, then what are you going to do? You're going to hold him. And then you wait until a situation presents itself. He either has a big game or there's injuries, and then you try to float him out there on the block again. I like this fit, per se, for Edmonds. We're probably going to see a lot of inside-outside zone with Miami now, with McDaniel coming over there. They have assigned a few different players. I think their offensive line is going to be better. And for me, I mean, honestly, right now, Ray, for dynasty purposes, I'm telling you to sell Edmonds in redraft. I'm probably investing in him, man. Like, is he a top 20, top 24 running back for this upcoming season? Like, this team didn't even trust Myles Gaskin last year. What, they going to trust him now? Like, Malcolm Brown was playing snaps, like, over him? Like, I don't see that happening. And for all the legal tampering things that are out there, and the teams that they can't talk, or now here starts the dude. This contract was announced like the ass crack of dawn on Monday. So it was like they were already talking about this on the way back. And then basically the alarm clock went off and they're like, Chase Edmonds has been signed by the Miami Dolphins, or he's going to be. And so it's like, yeah, they've been working on this for more than a minute. And so, like, with this, like, I'm buying in the short term, but if in dynasty purposes, I mean, shit, sell, buy, go away, please, off my roster. I mean, how do you think about Jace Edmonds?
I mean, you got a 2-year deal, 12 mil, 6 mil a year, 6 mil guaranteed total. They can potential out in 2023. It's fine, man. Again, if you have him, I too would be trying to move him. I can't tell you what you would like. Would you rather have Edmonds or a mid 2022 second?
I was just thinking
Edmonds, right?
Probably Edmonds, like, in the short term. And I'm looking at his contract right now. Yeah,
like he's probably there for 2 years.
It's a sexy 1-year deal. It looks like, because. Yeah. So they're upside down in it. In 2023, they could cut him if they wanted to and save 6 mil against the cap.
6 mil.
But, so, you know, I mean, it's like basically kind of what I was thinking before even looking at the language of it. It's a 1-year deal with a, if you don't suck, we bring you back. If it makes sense for us, we bring you back. If it doesn't make sense for us, we cut you. So it's rough, man. Like, I honestly, if you can get like an early second or something of that nature, like, I probably make that move. And I'm only saying that let me put you in a wide receiver tier.
Jahan Dotson or Chase Edmonds? Chris Olave or Chase Edmonds? Christian Watson or Chase Edmonds?
Oh, shit. Well, you know Watson. That's a layup, baby. Come on, give me Watson over him.
You're mid to high second there. I mean,
that's right. I was fixing to say, I was like, that we're all talking about, I would take Olave over him. I would take Jahan Dotson over him. I'm trying to think of some guys that are going to be in that early. Maybe Pickens? George Pickens gets it. Yep. I was just going to say his name. I actually think now this is assuming, let's make some assumptions here, right? That Pickens goes top 64. He gets into the second round. Do you think he gets that high, or is he a third round pick?
I
think he's going to be late second. So if he gets into the second, give me Pickens. If he falls to the third, I would take Chase Edmonds. That's where I kind of split it at. Now, is there that much difference? As far as draft capital, but as far as like what teams are investing and his opportunity and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think Pickens is a really good line, and I probably lean with Pickens.
All right. Well, tell me in briefly, cause we got to run through some more of these, man. Tell me what this means. What do you think this meant for Michael Carter and Travis Etienne?
So it worries me a little bit. Like, I feel like Carter,
be honest, be objective.
Carter dodged a bullet. Okay. I think Carter dodged a bullet. Now, does this scare me for the NFL draft? It does. What gives me a little bit of hope is they just signed the meat shield that is Tevin Coleman. Like, he's the meat shield that could save Michael Carter in the NFL draft. Like, if they don't take somebody until, say, round 5 or something. But could they still draft a running back in round 3, round 4? Possibly. Like, it's really possible. Like, I've got Michael Carter in a lot of places in Dynasty, and I can't tell you that I'm all like, I got some heebie-jeebies, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. I was trying to scoop him up and buy him in a few different places, and I've since taken my foot off that gas. If I got him, I'm probably going to hold him right now because I think, again, I'm above consensus about Michael Carter versus most people because the dude was just lights out. Like, he was uber efficient. He was a fucking baller whenever he was on the scene last year, and they gave him over 50% of snaps. Like, he was awesome. But it does the spider sense is tingling. I'll say that.
I'm seeing him as high. Some people have him as high as RB16 in Dynasty, Michael Carter. Mm. And I know you love him, man, but I've got him
RB21. I'm not that high. Okay, I do have him as a top 24 back, but not that high.
Are you nervous for ETN at all?
So what scares me about that is, what does that say about the health of James Robinson and Travis Etienne? Like, if they were in talks for James Conner, you had to believe that they were bringing the cash too, right? Like for that rumor to get floated, you have to think, or at least assume, that like the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Cardinals had to be somewhere, maybe not the same exact area code, but like the same state as far as like salary ranges. And if that's the case, yeah, that is scary about Travis Etienne. I'm not gonna lie, dude. Like, I told you I got fear about Michael Carter. At least with Michael Carter, we saw him ball out last year. We haven't seen Travis Etienne do shit since he's been in the NFL. We haven't seen nothing yet. So we're still going off of like blind faith of what he did in college that he's going to be good in the NFL. So, I mean, maybe it's more of a leap of faith to feel good about Etienne than it is about Carter.
All right. Well, let's run through a couple of these really quick. I'm going to rattle off some names, and I just want you to give me some thoughts of these players, okay? Will Dissly, 3 years, $24 million to Seattle. Mo Alie-Cox going back to Indy, 3 year, $18 million deal for Mo Alie-Cox. James White back to New England on a 2 year deal. CJ Uzomah to New York Jets. And we also had JD McKissic signing in Buffalo, 2 year, $7 million deal. So of those four deals, which one do you think has the greatest fantasy impact between Dissly, Mo Alie-Cox, James White, JD McKissic? And we'll go five, CJ Uzomah, those five.
I don't know what the hell Seattle's doing. Like, that one made no damn sense to me. Like, that one in the CJ Uzomah deal. Like, I legit don't even know what the hell they were thinking. Honestly, I feel like from an impact standpoint, I think if you're looking for a player out of this entire list to maybe go grab some exposure to on the cheap, it's Mo Alie-Cox, considering the offensive system there. But it's not a player I would like, maybe a toss in and a deal, but like the bigger fantasy implications, I think, reside if we're breaking all this down, Ray, with James White and I'm blanking on the other name here. JD McKissic.
Yeah.
With McKissic, he absolutely just capsizes Devin Singletary. Bye-bye, three down roll. Bye-bye, whatever hope you had. Bye-bye, all of that. McKissic is going to absolutely just crush his value. Because Singletary is not good in the passing game. Does it help Antonio Gibson? Yeah, I think it does. Does that mean that Washington can't go out and just add a pass catching back for cheap, considering there is one massive shit ton in the draft? Like, they go out and they add somewhere like Tyler Labatie. Okay. If they go out and they add somebody like James Cook, that's all you know James Cook is going to do in the NFL. That hurts too. You know, so like, I'm not out here in the streets saying like, holy shit, like we got to go get in on Antonio Gibson. The rocket ship into the moon is here. Like, because they could still add somebody that they just look at as saying, well, we don't need JD McKissic. We just add a cheaper version of him. Like, we could save the cash and get somebody like that out of the draft.
They still have Jarrett Patterson there too.
Yep.
You know, initially I was like, oh, this is great for Gibson. But the more I thought about it, it's like they're probably going to bring somebody else in. So I'm just
agreed.
Fingers crossed that it allows Antonio Gibson to be unlocked in the receiving game at least a little bit. Okay. We got to talk about, let's save Jacksonville for last. Let's talk about the hotness that was all over the Twitterverse today. And that's DJ Chark to Detroit. And listen, I talked about it this morning on the Wake Up.
I need your take to lead this off, okay? Because you've been tossing it to me. I need to know what you think, because I think we're about to fight about this one.
I think it is good for everybody involved. DJ Chark has done nothing since 2019. And I understand he was injured 2 years. I get it, right? I get it. Wasn't there, wasn't healthy. Or was it 2018 the last time he did that? It was 2019.
2018 was his rookie season. And he didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. Then he comes back, has 1,000 yards, and then injured the next 2 years.
Yep.
He fills a role that Detroit does not have right now, which is a wide receiver that can play the X, that can stretch the field, that can take those targets of 20 plus yards and turn them into big plays. He is a legitimate big play threat. That's not what Amon-Ra St. Brown does. That's not his game. Amon-Ra St. Brown commands those intermediate targets. He's good short area, intermediate. He can play above the rim or down the field, but that's not his calling card, right? That's not what he did at USC. He's a route technician. I think DJ Chark being there helps out Amon-Ra St. Brown. It clears some things up for TJ Hockenson. I think this is a very good signing. It's a one-year deal. A one-year deal for DJ Chark. I think this is probably the best case scenario for Amon-Ra St. Brown. What I was nervous about was a wide receiver like Allen Robinson, like Chris Godwin, who was, could have hit the market, and we know he didn't. I was nervous about one of those guys, a true number one coming in and walking into Detroit and saying, I'm going to be the guy, and being paid like he was the guy. That did not happen. I am not panicked, worried, anything about my feelings for him, if anything, have only become more bullish because this is a beautiful fit from an offensive scheme standpoint. And if Detroit does take Malik Willis at two, that fits Malik Willis's skill set. Bomb it deep. Give it to Chark. You got a short intermediate wide receiver in Amon-Ra that can command those targets from the slot. You get TJ Hockenson back. You get DeAndre. This is good. I don't understand the widespread panic on Amon-Ra St. Brown. His value in Dynasty and Redraft, the regression in target share should have been baked in to his value already. Like, I get it. TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift are coming back. I understand he will not get 10 targets, 11 targets a game. But even if he's getting 6, 7, you said Amari Cooper was commanding 6.9, Jarvis Landry 7 point something. If that's around where Amon-Ra is, then great. And people fail to, like, I'm watching all this today and I'm thinking, y'all do understand he was a rookie this past season doing what he did. He was a rookie. He's only going to get better. The path to relevance really reminds me, and it's not play style or anything, but Stephon Diggs, Terry McLaurin, later round draft picks that shown flashes, that got the opportunity, that never were threatened in the draft or free agency by an incoming wide receiver. And we look at Stephon Diggs as one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. He was a fifth round pick. Terry McLaurin was a third round pick. I don't understand the widespread panic on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I feel just as happy about him today as I did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't move him in my dynasty ranks. I kept him in the same damn tier that I had him in. I moved him down a little bit in redraft, and that's only because of with them. I think, and this is how I'm parsing through it, I didn't move him down in dynasty. Chark's only on a one-year deal. And if Amon-Ra is still the guy, I still think that he's a guy. I didn't have him sky high or anything like that. Like, I have the dude in a tier. He's wide receiver 22. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's fine.
And this, that's like, fine. I have him in the same tier, and people, and I'm really high on this player considering, but I think this player, we don't hear the two of these players talked about in the same realm because one of them was injured a bunch and didn't do it as much. And he's on a stinkier freaking team, as nasty as that says, but like, I have him and Kadarius Toney right next to each other in dynasty ranks. And tell me why you don't like Toney. I'm going to tell you the case of why.
You go. I'm just letting you know. That's you're pushing it. You're pushing it, D, bro.
I know, but that's why I'm bringing this up, man. People need to hear this. So I have them right next to each other in dynasty ranks because when we did see Toney on the field last year, he was one of only 5 wide receivers to have 2.2 yards per route run and a 29% or higher target per route rate. There was only like legit like a shelf. It was like Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown. There was one other person in there, and it was Kadarius effing Toney. Like, that was it. And so with New York, I think they're going to throw the ball more. I think that like the volume numbers are going to be really nice. And he's another dude. Like, who's he competing with for targets? Who's like, could he step up as the alpha? Like, that could happen. Like, what's it? Are we gonna be Kenny Galladay? We saw that last year. That wasn't good. Evan Ingram's gone. Who the hell is gonna catch the ball in New York outside of Kadarius Toney? Like, he could be a guy that like we see get a 28% target share, 25, like something really robust compared to what people think. And he showed out when he was actually on the NFL field last year. I know it's the Giants, and I know it's disgusting, and I was not a Toney guy walking into last year's NFL draft. I was with everybody. I was with everybody just making fun of David Gettleman. I was with everybody just shitting on it. I was with everybody saying, hell no, I don't want to draft Kadarius Toney. Like, I'll take Amon-Ra St. Brown over Kadarius Toney. But right now, considering what he did, and I'm changing some of how I view him based off of what he did on the NFL field, man. And, like,
who's in that tier? I won't be surprised. I need to know who's in that tier. I need to know. The people.
Same tier. Cortland Sutton. Mike Williams.
Okay.
And I have Chase Claypool rounding out the end of that tier. And like, I bounced Amari Cooper in and out of that tier. He's probably not. But it's all these dudes that, like, they're either young or maybe they step up as the number one in their offense. Like, or they have this type of upside.
I'll just say there's nothing wrong with that tier. I think you are a tad bit out ahead of your skis on time. I don't think there's anything wrong with that tier, but you're doing a lot of projection off of
Tony,
off of a game and a half sample size. You're doing a lot of projection here. Off of minimal games played, I think the tier is fine. You want to have Amon-Ra in there with Sutton, with Mike Williams, with Chase Claypool. I think that's a little low, but I'm not going to argue it. I think the issue is the Toney. And maybe I would ask you to consider just walking it back a little bit until we see. I think that's... I don't think your beef is with Amon-Ra. Your rose-colored glasses are just flashing Toney. But let's talk another player. Let's go to a different position. Let's talk about one Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh,
and it was a mere 4 years ago, I believe, that Mitch Trubisky had legitimate MVP odds going into the season. I mean, people were talking about him potentially being NFL MVP. What do you think about Trubisky in Pittsburgh?
I understand why the Steelers made this move. I get it. I understand it. And I agree with the move in the sense of, are you going to give up picks and go get somebody like Jimmy G? What are your thoughts on Jameis Winston? Because Lord, we've seen that show in multiple different places enough times to know what Jameis Winston is if they don't believe in him. But like, I understand why the Steelers made this move in the sense that they're not paying him a bunch of money at all. My thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky. So I get it from an NFL standpoint. I understand that. And they can still draft somebody and use Trubisky as a bridge. My only problem with this is that it's Mitchell Trubisky. He is terrible, Ray. Like, he is legit horrible. Like, if you, regardless of whatever metric, the last time we saw him as a starter, because no, I don't give a crap what he did versus practice squad dudes in the damn preseason in one damn game that nobody cared about. And when he was seeing vanilla damn defenses, I really could care less, because I've seen him on the NFL field for 4 years and play like crap. He basically did. He was like Chicago's version of Jared Goff, except, oh, we talked ourselves into believing he could run. And then he decided he doesn't run. He just runs in circles for 4 yards and runs out of bounds before first down markers. Mitchell Trubisky is god awful. The problem that I have with Mitchell Trubisky is that regardless of whatever metric you look at, he's bad. And why in the hell did Pittsburgh sign him over Marcus Mariota is besides me. Like, that is the part where I don't understand. We've seen Mariota win ball games. If you look at their first 4 years in the league, Ray, you look at completion rates, you look at QBRs, you look at yards per attempt, you look at adjusted yards per attempt. Pick a damn metric, people. Outside of quarterback wins, because that shit doesn't matter. Marcus Mariota beats Trubisky in all these damn different categories. But we're out here signing Mitchell Trubisky, and all I got to say is congrats to him for getting paid, because his agent did one hell of a PR campaign to get this dude a contract, and kudos, my friend. But as far as what I think about Mitchell Trubisky in Dynasty, if you could sell him for anything, like an old corn dog. Like, get rid of him now. Like, it's not going to be pretty. He goes out there and he plays like crap in the first week or two. Pittsburgh could just say, well, shit, we know what we got in Mason Rudolph. It's not good, but it looks better than that. And then he's dust. Absolutely dust in Dynasty.
I had to let you go off because I'm with you. It's Mitchell Trubisky, and a lot of people are like, oh, this takes Pittsburgh out of the quarterback market. Like, if anything, to me, it's like they're going to draft a quarterback. Like, he's just a bridge guy. He is not some long-term solution. He's not going to be the answer in Pittsburgh. This will not work long-term. It's just, no. He's Mitchell Trubisky, dude. Like, you could try to talk yourself into this all you want. He's still Mitchell Trubisky. He's not good, man. There's a reason why he lost his job in Chicago. He was a backup last year. He got a nice little deal. Good for him. Good for him for getting a deal, and we'll see how he plays. And, you know, wish him nothing but the best. But if I'm Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett or, you know, Matt Corral somehow fall in range, striking distance, you got to pull the trigger, man. I do not think this precludes them from taking a quarterback. I, too, am not in. What does this mean for the receivers?
Oh, I don't think it's good.
I don't think it's good, man. Yeah,
he's inaccurate as hell. Chase Claypool is an athletic contested catch guy. Like, Trubisky's accuracy is terrible. So good luck with him fitting into those tight windows. Like, Deontay Johnson, honestly, I think it's a bump down for all those different guys. Like, because the way that I'm projecting it is, I think the Steelers could decide we're going to go back to the model we used with early career Ben, and we're going to run the damn ball. And we're going to throw when we have to. We hope we don't have to throw a ton. We're going to do some RPOs. We're going to use his legs, whatever we can get out of it, and use wide receiver motions, sweeps, handoffs, things like that. They're going to use a lot of motion in this offense. And I think, like, it's going to be the only guy I did not move down, and I still view him in the same light that I did before this news, was Najee Harris. Like, he's still locked in top five dynasty running back. It did not matter to me. It did not change. He's still going to get one massive crap ton of volume, and he's still on a rookie contract. And he's all the things why we liked Najee Harris last year are still firmly in play, because Mitchell Trubisky doesn't have to be good, because he can still be really bad. He doesn't have to be good to play at the level of Ben Roethlisberger last year. But if we get better offensive line play, some other tertiary things happen around them, like, Najee could even have a better season than he had last year. Like, he's the one guy where I'm just like, look, you got somebody that's down on Najee. Like, I'm not making moves for Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool in Dynasty, but if somebody's willing to, like, at least put out feelers or put Najee on the block, like, that's a conversation where I'm like, hell yeah, let's talk. Because outside of that, I mean, Ray, like, could you say, like, in season, end of the season, before the Super Bowl, could you have even gotten Najee Harris in a dynasty league? Probably not. No. If somebody's like, at least if somebody is showing their hand and putting him on the block, hell yeah, let's have a talk. Like, because I would love to get Najee Harris. I'm not bumping him down at all. Like, I mean, do you disagree?
I'm with you. I'm not bumping him down. Najee's locked and loaded for the next 2 years. Like, next 2 years, he's getting all the volume he can handle. I'm not knocking Najee down. I am concerned for the pass catchers. Deontay will probably be fine. Claypool will have his moments. But ultimately, Mitchell Trubisky is not the answer in Pittsburgh. I'm with you. If people are panicked on Najee now because of this, please go get him. Please go get him. I mean, he's locked into that type of volume for the next 2 years. All right, I want to finish this out by talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'll say this. Part of me commends them for trying to help their young quarterback. And I want to start by the good moves. Tagging Cam Robinson, good move. Signing Brandon Scherff, Pro Bowl offensive lineman from the Commanders, great move. Great move getting him over there to help shore up that offensive line, protect your quarterback. I hope this does not mean that they're going to pass on Evan Neal or Icky at the top of the draft, one of those offensive linemen, but it probably looks like they're going to take an Aiden Hutchinson. I still think they should shore up the offensive line.
I think they should go Neal. I'll be on record. They need to go Neal. Yeah,
they need to go Neal, but it seems like they're probably going to go defensive end. All right. And I commend them for trying to bring pass catching weapons around him. I don't mind Christian Kirk. I don't mind Zay Jones. But when you see the type of deals that these guys got, I mean, what are you, Evan Engram, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones. I will at least say this. That's a better trio, in my opinion, than New England handing out $100-something million to Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Kendrick Bourne, and Nelson Agholor. But what are your thoughts on, like, the instant reaction is to talk about how bad it is. But what are your thoughts on these deals?
It screams to me that the Jaguars have no damn clue what they're doing. This is the same. Okay, I'm going to throw you a random analogy out here. This is the same thing as somebody giving you a gift card to, say, Amazon, and say it's $50, say it's $100, whatever. And you saying, man, you know what? I got this money in my pocket. It's burning a hole in my pocket. I don't really have anything I need right now. So you go on Amazon and you buy like 4 or 5 different things. And at the end of it, you're saying, it's kind of like when you walk into a gas station or a gift shop and you walk out with like $100 worth of shit. And you're like, why did I just spend that $100? What did I get? I got one of these little like Misty pinwheel fans and a stick of gum. Like, what did I spend the $100 on? Like, the Jaguars did, like, this is screams. We have a bunch of money and we don't know what the shit to do with it. You're paying Zay Jones 24 mil, who got legit like a dude off the street type of contract last year. And Zay Jones was not good last year either. He was just the best option of bad options after the Henry Ruggs situation. He was god awful. Like, if your yards per route run was 1.35 and that's a career high, that means you are doo-doo butter. Like, you are bad. You should not be starting. Let's just assemble this depth chart here as they put it together, Ray. Here's your starting trio of wide receivers, baby. Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk, and Zay Jones. That is what the Jacksonville Jaguars have assembled. Oh, and Dan Arnold and Evan Engram. This is the skill players that Jacksonville has said, and Trent Baalke has said, all right, this is our answer to surrounding our franchise quarterback with talent. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you freaking serious? This is ridiculously stupid. Not even talking about like the redundant assets. Evan Engram is a overgrown slot wide receiver. Dude played over 70% of his snaps, either in the slot or out wide. Dan Arnold, over 70% of his snaps in the slot or out wide. What, are both of them going to play the slot together this upcoming season? Like, what the hell? Oh, wait, but we signed Christian Kirk. He could play the slot too. That's what we signed him to do, because now we got Zay Jones on the outside and Marvin Jones is on the outside. How many slot players are you going to have? Like, what the are we doing? This is legit, and this is the best takeaway I can give anybody in Dynasty right now. If you had hope for Trevor Lawrence, and if he comes through and he has a really good year, I will eat the L. I will eat every damn bit of it. You can own me on Twitter. That's fine. You need to try to trade away Trevor Lawrence and Dynasty right now, because this team, this front office, has no damn clue what they're doing, and they're surrounding Trevor Lawrence with a really shiny bag of crap. And if you thought he, like, this is not the formula for how you rehab a rookie quarterback and you invest in assets around him. Spend all this damn money in investing in the offensive line and going and paying big dudes. I get that. That is fine. I have no issues with that at all. go give the guy some damn skill players in the draft, Ray. Like, give him wide receivers that are actually good and not this, like, gaggle of dollar store washouts that you're going to sit here and pay top dollar into these contracts. It makes no sense. And for right now, if this is the plan that they have for him moving forward, I'm getting out on Trevor Lawrence. I have him in some leagues right now, and I'm going to be trying my damnedest to move him.
I sat back, and people can't see you, but the disappointment, the rage that took over your body as I'm watching you, I know you probably gave yourself a headache. I'm almost certain you gave yourself a headache, and I don't know what else to say. I'm concerned. I love Trevor Lawrence. Same. I refuse to believe that he is as bad as what Jacksonville put on the field last year. But I don't get these moves, man. And here's the thing. Christian Kirk making 18 mil a year, seven, whatever it is, he better get the ball every damn play. But I just don't know if he's good enough to do that type of shit with it.
Yep.
LaVisca's probably gone.
Yep.
You know, Evan Ingram, you should just kept Dan Arnold. I mean, Laquan Treadwell, you would have been better. Just let Treadwell look good towards the end of last year. Just pay Treadwell 2 years, 10 mil. He would have accepted it. I don't listen. This seems bad for Jacksonville. Like it we'll see, man. It's early. It's March. Let's see what happens with the draft. Let's see what they do.
Are you trying to trade Trevor Lawrence away? Like, are you with me on that? Like, are you like, is this the time where you quietly hit the panic button
if you
have him in Dynasty?
Yeah, if you can, but what are you trading him for, man? Like, I wouldn't trade. Let's just say one for one. I wouldn't trade him for any quarterback in 2022. Would you trade him for Malik Willis? Would you do that? I wouldn't. I think there's a lot more certainty with Trevor Lawrence getting opportunity, even if it's not in Jacksonville. He's going to get a shot to play again somewhere. I don't, if Malik isn't good, he's a backup, man, 2-3 years. If he can't throw the ball and he's god awful, there's no way you would do it. There's no way. If somebody offered you the 101 in 2022, I would not allow you to even entertain that. But you tell the people, because this is what we're going to end on. Would you, D-Bro, Derek Brown, at D-Bro _ FFB, trade Trevor Lawrence for the 2022 101 to draft Malik Willis? Would you do that?
I'm going to say this, and Let's kind of play some of this.
No. But I want the real.
You want the yes or no.
Listen to me, D-Row. I don't care what the comments say. I don't care what the people say. We need to know in your heart. And this is because it's not looking good for Jackson. Like, this is not a good start. If right now you had to make the decision, and we're going to give Malik Willis top 10 draft capital, he's either going to be in Detroit, he's going to be in Seattle, he could potentially be in he's going to be a top 10 pick. Pittsburgh, Detroit, Seattle. Would you trade Trevor Lawrence for Malik Willis?
Dude, I'm really, really considering it. Like, I'm on the fence, and I'm sitting on that type of offer really close, buddy. Like, it's tough. Like, there is a massive part of me that really, really wants to say yes right now. And this is why. Okay. You have Trevor Lawrence. Regardless of his pedigree, what he's done in college, everything we saw in the first year, if this system and this team is as badly and poorly constructed as it looks like on paper, and it fails miserably, hell, even if he plays to the same level, maybe a little shade better than he played last year, Because what was Trevor Lawrence? Low-end QB2 in fantasy, basically what he did last year. So he's a low-end QB2. He does that type of production again this year. So after this year, they have what? They'll have Christian Kirk. They'll have Zay probably still be on his contract. Maybe they get out from Marvin Jones. They get out from Evan Ingram. And now they have a depth chart with Doug Peterson. Maybe Trent Baalke's still there. And all he's got to throw to is Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, and we have no clue. And now Trevor Lawrence is entering year three under the same regime with 2 years of QB2 production. Is anybody going to give you anything at that point for Trevor Lawrence? Like, and say, and this is assuming, say Malik goes out, he starts this year, okay? And based off of his rushing equity alone, he goes out there and he runs for 600-700 yards. He starts a handful of games. Hell, he starts maybe half the season. His legs alone could put him in high-end QB2 territory. Maybe he has a bunch of QB1 weeks because he's running that much. If he's dropped into a good system, hell, even if he just, if he doesn't look great and he just runs a shit ton, okay? Maybe he's Jalen Hurts of his rookie season, okay? That's the type of production we get. He's good in fantasy, maybe not that great in real life. If Malik does that in his rookie year and Trevor ends up as QB20, QB22, something like that, and this is a damn dumpster fire, you probably couldn't even trade Trevor Lawrence straight up for Malik Willis in that same scenario after this season. So, yeah, it's tough, man, because I believe in Trevor Lawrence as the prospect, as the player. There is a lot of me that says, make the damn move and go get Malik Willis, because even his floor as a rushing quarterback in fantasy at his basement, Ray, is maybe still better than what Trevor Lawrence is going to do this year.
D-bro.
Like, am I crazy? You're telling me that you would talk me off the ledge here and tell me I'm insane. I'm like, not let me do this deal. And like, here's, after that buildup, I don't want to do the deal. Like, I want to sit here and tell you, Ray, no, you've brought the light. I see the light now, and I don't want to do the deal. But my heart and my head are saying, oh, no, like, I still want to do it.
Here's the thing. Since I'm sort of captaining this ship, I'm not going to answer the question.
I'm going to say
for FTN, for your boy Ray GQ, this is the show, and Derek Brown just told all of you out there, the millions listening across the world, today, trade Trevor Lawrence for the 2022 101. We'll be back next week. We out of this thing. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Derek. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at RayGQ and Dbro_FFB. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.